The Week's Geek, hosted by Ralph Tromsey.
All right, y'all. Welcome back to The Week's Peak. I'm your host, Ralph Tronchi, and we're back. Another episode. I'm stoked to be here today on this great Saturday. You know what? Not very nice. Well, we're recording this on a Friday, Bryce, but, you know, I say it's a beautiful day, but it's really not, you know? I don't know. Where are you at? Is there a bunch of smoke in there for you?
Oh, yeah, dude. Visibility's horrible.
Yeah. But, I don't even... I've tried my best not to go out as much, but I don't like all this smoke and all that, man. But
yeah,
it's tough, tough stuff. But I mean, we getting through it. But yeah. Anyways, man. Today, you know, we have a very good friend of mine, Bryce Lee, join us. Bryce, man, how are you doing, man?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing pretty good.
It's great to hear your voice, man. It's been so long.
Yeah, dude, it's been like a couple years at least.
Facts. Yeah. You know, how's everything been, man?
It's been pretty good. Just quarantine kind of knocked everything off, like, for everyone else. So, you know, just getting by, pretty much.
Yeah. Quarantine, man. I hate hearing that word nowadays, man. Like, oh, man, because I had so much going on, so much planned, all this, and all of it just down the drain.
Oh, yeah.
You know, how have you been just coping with all that, man?
You know, I've been doing pretty good. Just, I've been, doing a lot of, work, and, I actually picked up spearfishing.
Really?
I started spearfishing with my buddy a couple weeks back, and that's been pretty fun. Mm-hmm.
That's great, yeah.
Find something to do.
Definitely, yeah. I think it's been, and the biggest thing for me, just finding things that just can, I can occupy the time, you know, because, you know what? I just lost connection for a second.
Oh, crap. Really?
All right. Well, we are back. I don't know what. I guess, you know, like you said, it was probably the smoke and all that, because with all the connection issues and all that.
Yeah.
Hey, we're back, y'all. I mean, it's not like y'all felt it or anything, but we're back. And, Bryce, yeah, what were you saying before we had that connection issue there?
Well, we were just talking. I said I got back into I got into spearfishing lately. Yeah. So, I'm just doing anything to really occupy my time. It's just been, pretty tedious lately as far as just long gaps of doing nothing.
Yeah. That's a heck of tough, you know. And the thing is, like, you know, there's nothing you can do about it, and you can't control it, and all this, and you know, we got government and all that, and you know, we got that whole issue right there. You know, I think that's good. I mean, same here on my end, just occupying your time, you know. And I think for me, you know, a little bit, quarantine has been sort of a blessing, I guess, in a way, you know, because I've been able just to find new things, new interests, new talents, stuff like that. If it wasn't for quarantine, I wouldn't have started up the podcast. So, you know, it's been something else, but, you know, we're getting through it, and I'm glad, you are too, and picking up, you know, like spearfishing. Like, how's spearfishing, man? Like, I don't think I've known anyone who, at the moment, who does that. So how is that?
It's a pretty crazy hobby. Like, it's a lot more technical than I thought it was. So the first time I went out with my buddy, I didn't have any of the gear I needed, so I had to borrow all of his, and I was just doing it in swim trunks and his weight belt. And what I didn't realize is that you really have to conserve your air and lower your heart rate. So I got in the water and I was paddling around, and I got in the current and I had to fight it, and I couldn't stay down on the bottom long enough to shoot a fish. Mm-hmm. So after that, I've only gone out a handful of times, and I realized, because I got all my own gear now, I realized that if I am just more calm, I can get down on. So you're supposed to go from the top, and what I'm spearfishing for is striped bass, because it's really one of the only things that you can spearfish for and eat in California. And so I get down in the water, and I'm floating on top first, and they can't feel you when you're floating on top because they have a huge lateral line. And so I didn't realize that. So I was able to just look at it from the top. And I figured out that you need to dive down and sit on the bottom and they'll come up to you. I didn't know that for my first couple trips, so it was kind of rough trying to get something, but you know, it's been a really interesting experience. It's a lot more technical than I thought.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Sure. Well, so there's all these, you know, things that you have to just to adjust and be aware of. You know, I didn't know it was like that, like you said, like that technical, you know, like,
yeah,
it's crazy. Cause you know, I don't personally, you know, go and do these, how do you say, I don't know, like these outdoor, like fishing or hunting, anything like that. Like that's not, I would love to learn and love to start that. Cause a lot of people think I'm into that stuff. Cause I wear, a lot of like Bass Pro Shops hat, you know? But like it's not what I do, you know, you know, I would love to, you know, like go out and just learn all these things. Cause I feel like it's hell interesting, you know? How did you first, you know, get into, you know, all this in this, you know, like field?
Well, I got into it cause my dad and I have been hunting since I was 12 and could legally hunt large game, and I kind of learned over the past couple years a lot of technique about it, and then I moved next to this guy and he is a big game hunter all around the world. So what he will do is he's gone like Africa, New Zealand, all these places, and he's really into hunting, and I've actually he's my spearfishing buddy, and he's also one of my hunting buddies.
Mm.
And I kind of picked up on a lot of information from him, and I don't know, I'm really big into hunting right now. I wasn't as much in prior to like freshman year, mm-hmm. sophomore year,
mm-hmm.
and so I've just been really into it lately. I actually got a bear last year, right. And a deer, mm-hmm. same season,
mm-hmm.
and that was a pretty interesting experience. I went from like actually taking the animal to cleaning it. I skinned it all out myself. I butchered it all out myself. I turned it into like sausage and stuff. It's just, it's really interesting. It's, in my opinion, it's like going to a grocery store, but it's just extra steps.
Mm. Well, huh. I like that. Describing it that way, going to a grocery store and just with more steps. I haven't heard that before, you know?
But, yeah.
I like that. You bring up, you know, season. When exactly is hunting season for those who are listening who might not know?
So, general season, it's, general season covers deer and bear, and then there's some that go into, like, if you're a bird hunter, then there's, like, dove and all that, and all the seasons are different. So, deer season isn't necessarily when duck season is, but, deer season actually started in California for... There's different zones. For my zone, which is D3 through 5, it started August 15th, but it's archery exclusive up until September and some date in September. And so I've been bow hunting a lot, and I've had my opportunities to shoot bucks. I actually missed a buck. I took a poor shot because I got out and I was way too excited. Like I said, it's a learning experience. I got to learn to control everything. Wow. Got too excited, and I missed.
Mm.
And so that was a learning experience, but... the season runs from, is just the zone I'm in, runs from August 15th for archery, goes to some date in September where people can start using rifles, and it runs to, I want to say, October, maybe,
mm-hmm.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then bear season goes all the way out to December 25th or something like that,
mm-hmm.
December 31st.
Gotcha. You know, you mentioned, you know, how the whole thing is just a learning experience. You know, you're not going to go out your first time, you know, perfect at it. You know, how much is there to learn, you know, for someone new to come into it? You know, how long does it take for them to, you know, get used to the atmosphere, get used to, you know, all the techniques needed, you know, to go out here and hunt?
You know, it takes a long time. Like, as I said, I've only really been into hunting for like the past like 2 or 3 years,
mm-hmm.
and I'm still learning a whole bunch of new stuff every day, and the most seasoned hunter will still learn new stuff, mm-hmm. every time he goes out hunting, mm-hmm. and it could be such minor things like, oh, the deer will bed down at certain points in the day and they won't get back up for a while,
mm-hmm.
to like just the smallest, most minute things, like, oh, they like this bush over this bush and stuff like that. And it's a lot of learning. And like I said, I'm not really experienced in it as much as I want to be, but you know, I'm going to continue to hunt for as long as I can. So it takes quite a long time to really become a master at it per se, but it's definitely something that you could pick up on really quickly if you're successful. Like I said, I got a bear and I didn't know how, 'cause I skinned it out in a manner where I could turn it a rug. I like to utilize the bear possible. And so I skinned it out, and it was really technical. And if you screwed up that skin, the most taxidermists won't even accept the pelt. They'll just tell you to figure something else out. And then it's just like small little things you can, for example, when I got my first deer, my dad showed me how to, you know, field dress it. Field dressing it is the process of removing its intestines and its bladder and its, you know, its other nasty bits. And I didn't realize that you could puncture the bladder on it and it'll get urine all over some of the meat. And I learned this because my dad was pulling it out and he handed it to me and I gripped it too hard and it popped in my hand, which was nasty. I had deer piss all over me. But it's just a lot of little things, like you'll pick up on it. It doesn't take long to become decent at hunting. It just takes a long time to become a master at it. Yeah.
So is all that... Oh, my fault. Go for it.
Oh, it's really all about effort. Like, if you... A lot of people, they like this this method of hunting called road hunting, and you cruise along in a truck. And, you know, I've done my fair share of it with my dad, because my dad isn't the most mobile person. But just in my experience, I've never really been successful for it. So it's a big measure of effort. And the more effort you put in, the more likely to succeed you are, as it is in any other aspect of life.
Right, exactly. You know, make sure you, like you said, you know, no matter, you know, what you're doing in life, you know, effort is always going to be very important. If you lose, if you lack that effort, you know, it's very hard to excel in a particular, you know, field or whatever you're trying to do. From what I hear, you know, attention, being attentive to detail is very, very important, no?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Definitely, especially say you're tracking an animal. There's a couple different types of tracking. You can, before you actually attempt to take the animal's life, attention to detail is very important, because you'll see it's, you know, you'll see signs like, for instance, deer, when they're in velvet, they'll scrape off their fuzz on their horns off on trees and you'll see scrape marks, or their feces will, if you're hot on a deer, its feces will be warm, because, you know, it just took a, you know. And so that's really good, because you could get onto different animal paths so quickly if you're not really attentive and you're not paying attention. And then likewise, if you, like for archery hunters, when you take an animal's life, it's not an instantaneous thing the majority of the time. It will be something where you shoot it with your bow and it runs, and while it's running, it's pumping blood out. And I've seen people where they shoot them and they have to, if it's a bad shot, they have to track it for like a mile or so. And so attention to detail, you have to pay attention. You have to search under like every little nook and cranny for blood. 'Cause if you lose that trail, you're going to lose your animal. And it's really unethical to obviously to shoot stuff and not utilize it.
Right.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know, has there ever been a point where you've gone hunting, and, you know, you just, something small that you messed up that just screwed up the whole thing for you? That anything just, like, that just comes to mind up?
Well, there's been a couple of experiences where I'm, you know, I was stalking a deer. It was last season. I was stalking a deer because I just got into archery hunting. And I wasn't really paying attention on my footwork, and I stumbled a little bit, and just that little bit caused the brush to kick up, and it freaked out the deer, and it ran on me. And then there was another time where I was dead silent walking through the brush, and I totally forgot that animals, you know, obviously they have a way better scent. They have a way better ability to smell stuff than humans. And the wind was blowing towards me. And it was the wind blowing towards the deer and towards me, and the deer actually caught my scent, looked me right in the eyes. Yeah.
Dang, yeah, cool. So in the first instance you shared, I heard footwork. So footwork is very important in this as well?
Yeah. Just watch where you're walking, especially if you're up in really good rain, you could potentially lose your life if you aren't where you're walking.
Really?
Gotcha. You step on something, you tumble down a hill, you're done for.
Uh-huh. Right. Dang. So there's just so much you got to take into account for. I don't think it's, you know, easy to just go out and hunt, right? I obviously knew, you know, there's different things you got to take into account and all this, but I didn't realize, you know, it was this, you know, just like this much thought has to go into it, or this much technique, or, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like, it's crazy, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Is that normal for someone who's, like, not really into hunting?
For what exactly is
just
your question?
Just to, you know, because I feel like anyone who might not hunt or know anything about it, like, maybe they might be a little surprised at all these things that go into the sport, you know? Like, is that...
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. Definitely. If you're not really experienced to hunting, there could be a lot of different things that will inevitably ruin your chances of taking an animal. And it's stuff that you might not realize at first. Say, if you're not as experienced firing rifles, just the smallest little movement of your scope. Say you're using an optic, if you are just slightly off, you could completely miss if it's a long distance. Personally, I don't like to take really long distance shots on animals, because if I'm gonna, you know, take its life, I want to do it as ethically as possible, and I want to do it as fast as possible. And so I just prefer to, you know, kind of get closer and take a good shot on them. But it's a lot of little things that would really surprise you. Like, when I first started learning, especially through my buddy who's been a big game hunter his entire life. He's in his, like, 50, he's 55. So, you know, I'm hanging out with old dudes. It's just, he taught me a lot of stuff as far as, you know, tracking animals and spearfishing. It's everything, every type of sport versus just spearfishing, regular fishing, hunting, bird hunting, it all has its little, like, quirks and stuff that you have to figure out, because if you don't, you're not going to be as successful as other people are.
Right. Is it easier, has it been easier, made it any easier for you, just because you have, you know, people around you who are very knowledgeable and can, you know, kind of mentor you into hunting or spearfishing, stuff like that?
Yeah, it's been like a blessing, because if I were to get into it on my own, it would have taken a long, long time for me to figure it out. I mean, like I said, a lot of people, they'll be masters at hunting, and they'll be, like, masters at spearfishing, and they'll still learn stuff, and that's after a lifetime of doing it.
It's crazy.
And so having people like my grandpa, who's deer hunted his entire life, and he's past 75. My dad, who's past his 50s, and he's hunted his entire life. My buddy, who's past his 50s and he's hunted his entire life. It's a lifetime of knowledge that's getting poured into me. And it's really useful. It really is. Because I would have taken so long for me to figure out most of these things. And it's, I don't know, it's really nice having information at hand like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I could imagine. You know, I mean, you're lucky just to have all these people in your life, you know, right there, who just, you know, they've done this all their lives, you know, and for them to just pass all that great knowledge down to you is, I'm sure is, you know, is for anything is, you know, so just, it's a great resource and a great thing to have, and I guess makes things a little bit easier, on people and on you as well.
Yeah.
You know, what do you say to, you know, some people out there who maybe are against hunting, against killing animals and all that, you know, because I'm sure we have some people in the audience who, you know, are like that. What do you have to say to them?
Well, Here's the thing, is if you go to the supermarket, you go to Raley's, you go to Safeway, any of these places, and you buy, say, a steak, or you buy fish, not as much fish, if you buy steak, you buy chicken, you buy anything, what you're doing is you are basically, you're going and you're buying an animal that has been, it's dead, obviously, but its whole life, it lived with the knowledge that it is going to die at the hands of a person. Obviously, I don't have a problem eating meat. I go to steakhouses. What I come to realize is that the moment between where the animal that, say, I would go out and I would kill, the moment between it knowing that it is going to die and it knowing that I even exist is instantaneous with its demise. Versus where there's a cow who's one, it's grown up. It probably got taken from its mother, so the mother could be used for dairy. It got taken from its mother. It was castrated. It grew up with its buddies being shipped out and going to these different plants to be processed. And like I said, I don't have a problem with all this. I think that there's some aspects of it that are unethical, but you know, it's God gave us domain over animals, so I try not to look into it too much because inevitably all it's going to do is bother me, and I'd rather I preferably like meat. I hunt anyways. But like I said, the time from when the, say, the deer that I'm going to kill this season, because I have all this time on my hands, the deer that I'm going to kill this season or the deer I killed last season, the time that it even knows that I exist, the time between that point and the time that it is no longer living is just about instantaneous.
Yeah,
And
that's
it. They're a resource for sure, and I really have come to appreciate hunting because, like I said, it's like going to a supermarket, just with extra steps.
Yeah, it's interesting. You know, I always kind of question, you know, people who were against, you know, that kind of stuff, and I don't know. But and then you also got some people saying these things, and they're going to these steakhouses. You know, I'm like, you know, what are you doing? You know, like,
Yeah.
but I don't know. But I mean, like you said, you know, I think it's. I mean, I don't know. But I don't want to get myself in trouble because I have with some of these episodes, but
Oh yeah, I mean that's understandable.
yeah.
It's a personal point of view that I've taken where I find it more ethical because I am a meat eater. I will always be a meat eater, and I find it far more ethical to go out and take the resource by myself instead of, you know, relying on someone who, you know, you don't always know the ethical standpoint or the moral compass of the people who are working in these plants. Like I saw a video and it was one of these dairy producers and they're hitting the cattle. It like there's dudes just beating the hell out of these cows trying to get them into submission, and I don't think that's ethical at all. And that really bothered me, so I stopped actually purchasing from that product. And I feel like it's far more ethical because, you know, it the entire life of the animal that I would go out and I would take, it's been living its best life. You know, it obviously it has to worry about predators, but it's been eating natural resources such as, you know, grass or leaves or whatever, and it didn't wake up in the morning knowing that it's gonna die. So I'd much rather utilize a natural resource where it's far more ethical, you know, than go out and purchase from some producer that might not have the best moral compass as far as treating the animals.
Definitely. You know, that's interesting. So I never really thought about it, you know, in that perspective, you know, in that, you know, the people who are into this, you know, they might not have the, you know, they might not be doing the best things with these animals and all that. So when you go out yourself and do it yourself and you know, and do all the, you know, on your own is really a different, because you know where your morals at, you know where your perspective is at, you know your standpoints, and you know that what you're doing is, you know, in align with your values and all that. So I think that's very, that's a good thing, you know. For some, you know, let's say I were to start hunting, okay, someone who has zero experience, where would I go? to get information, any resources that would help? Just what would be the first place that I could go to that could give me some sort of just foundation to get started in hunting?
Well, so if you don't have any prior experience, and say you're not like me or you know people who have lifetimes of experience, you can, obviously there's the internet. That's our go-to source apparently for everything nowadays. You
gotta love the internet, man.
Oh yeah. You can find someone through, I don't know. Like I said, a lot of it's going to be the one to look up. Oh, hunting tips, bear hunting tips, best equipment to use for taking whatever animal. And that will give you a good broad spectrum of information, but it's, if you really want the smallest, like most little tips that add up inevitably in the end, you need to find someone who has gone through a whole lifetime of experience, or who has had lifetimes of experience poured into them, and they're living through all this vicariously to some extent. You have to find your resources, whether it very well could be the internet. You could meet some guy who's hunted for 50 plus years, or you could, go to Bass Pro Shop and talk to some guy behind the gun counter who probably has 4 or 5 of the mounts in Bass Pro Shop that he has taken. It's, or hell, even approach someone in Bass Pro Shop or Cabela's or Sportsman's Warehouse. Just, I feel like definitely broadening your knowledge by talking to people is probably the best way to do it, because you'll pick up on so many little quirks that people use to take animals. Like, for instance, my dad, my friend that has all this experience, he gave me a tree stand. And tree stand, you go up and it's latched into a tree about 15, 25 feet up. And you'll sit there and the deer won't look up because they're not used to predators up in the air, essentially. And so you sit there, you're dead silent, and you wait. And my dad told me that that doesn't work for this type of deer that lives in California. Well, what I found out going on the internet is that it's really effective. It just doesn't happen a lot over here. So it's, there's a lot of contradicting opinions, but you have to really find your midline in the middle where you want to follow someone else's opinion and you see how that works. You just have to find your resources, essentially. YouTube's a good one. And just, like I said, people who know what they're doing.
Right. Yeah, because, I would assume, obviously, as you mentioned, internet, YouTube, they're great resources. You can find some great stuff on there. But I feel like that doesn't, equal the same as, someone who's been doing it their whole lives and have these, experiences themselves. And, they might have all these things that you may not find on the internet, So I think, And, as for anything as well, I think as we mentioned earlier, just having that, mentorship of someone who's been through it all and, especially for, the longer the years they've done whatever it may be, the better, the more knowledge you get. And I'm a huge believer in that. That's why, especially on this podcast, I got, some of these older individuals who've gone through life, and who are successful and all that. So, my main goal every episode is just try to, extract as much information as I can. I just soak up as if, I was a sponge and just take all this information in that I can use and that the audience can use, because I just think that's so important. And I'm sure, especially for hunting, for something that with all the detail involved and all these techniques we got to learn, I'm sure that's it's a very important thing to utilize in terms of, resource and all that.
Yeah, definitely.
So, cool. I'm just about out of time here, close to that 30-minute mark. Bryce, man, it's been a pleasure having you on, man. I know we meant to do this, a couple weeks ago, no? It never really worked out.
June,
yeah.
I've been busy working trips and all that. And
Yeah.
Well, it was certainly nice to be on it. I'm glad I got to share some of my info on it, especially if there's people who have been looking into it but not quite crossing the threshold into becoming someone like a sportsman who spearfishes or fishes or whatever. And I'm definitely glad I got to share some information on this. Like I said, it's definitely a resource. So what I say might not always be the best for what you're hunting. Obviously, find someone who knows what they're doing. Like I said, I'm fairly new. I'm only like 3 or 4 years in to really like getting in there and hunting and just experiencing all this. I'm sure in a couple of years I'll have tons more information.
Right, right. And just imagine, you know, years and years down the line too, man. You'll just be, you know. Great, man. You know what? Yeah, man. Hey, appreciate you again for coming on. Like I said, it's been a pleasure. It's been good just to connect with you, man. I've been able to connect with a lot of people through the podcast, so it's been great. And you know, maybe one of these days, man, I'm really gonna strongly consider getting into hunting, because it's something that's been in my mind for the longest, but I never really, you know, want to take a stab at it. But hey, man, you know, hopefully one of these days, man, I'll do some more research. I'll text you, see if I can get any information from you as well. You have any last words for audience?
Just take whatever you're doing slow. Just figure it out. Don't rush into stuff. Just, you know, it's all about patience, especially in any other aspect of life. It's about patience. You can't rush through things or else they won't come out how you want it.
I like that. Those are wise words, man. Appreciate that. All right, y'all. Well, I appreciate y'all for listening. This has been the week's peak. It's been a peak. We overcame it. We'll see you at the next one. Same time, same place. 12 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We got a fire episode next Wednesday with Isau. And until then, y'all, adios.